April 25th, 2018, is Watt from Pedro Show. for Pedro show in Pedro. Last minute, Brother Matt got indisposed. He's coming from the desert and had all these appointments. So I'm here in my own pad, but not alone because through the miracle of Skype, those engineers in Estonia, Craig Taborn's with me all the way from Brooklyn, right?
Right. I'm in Brooklyn.
Yeah. Thanks for coming aboard, truly. And thanks to Steve Bono for making the connect. We started with John Coltrane doing Harmonique, and then something from you called The Shining One. Craig, can you tell me your earliest music recollection?
Probably the earliest is my dad playing piano down in the basement. He was a psychologist and a professor, but he would come home and play just for himself. He was like a blues man, blues and kind of soul jazz, but a lot of Ray Charles kind of stuff.
Uh-huh. So
that kind of thing.
And he's got the piano in the basement. So you had musical instruments in the pad, okay. So you're kind of hearing him jam and stuff after work so he can kind of relax and do his thing, right?
Yeah, he would come home and just, like, before dinner, he would unwind playing and stuff.
Yeah, that's
you know, like, just for himself.
That's the word, unwind. So he didn't really, like, he wasn't part of a group or he didn't do gigs?
No, he never played professionally. I think when he was in college, he played in a little college group. Actually, I think Dick Gregory was in that group. He went to college with Dick Gregory.
Okay, yeah. Very funny man, and a very serious thinker, too. Because you ended up on piano. So I'm wondering, Craig, was there a connect?
Oh, totally. It's just because the piano was down there,
okay.
And he would play it, you know, so it was just available. And, like, or, you know, he wasn't trained or anything. He just played it by ear, you
sure.
know. Like, every song he played ended up in C, you know.
White like, keys.
Yeah, exactly. C or G, sometimes G.
Uh-oh.
But,
yeah.
He showed me my first thing, because I just sit down, and he's from, like, southern Illinois and Chicago, kind of that area, so it was like a blues-based thing, definitely.
So, if it's a blues thing, there had to be some black keys. Right? Maybe.
Well, he would, yeah, hit him, you know, and then slide up.
Okay. Can you remember the first record that you bought for yourself?
First record, you know, it might be Kansas Left Overture.
I remember that. Yeah.
And that was because one of my friends, I was maybe 10, but my buddy's brother really was into Kansas, and so I just bought it. I kind of just didn't know what else to buy, and I always liked the cover. That wizard-looking guy who was writing.
yeah, I remember it, too. I remember I even saw them play a couple times.
Wow.
Yeah, well, arena rock, right, the 70s and stuff. On purpose.
Totally.
They were part of other things. I'm curious. Okay, so your pop shows you stuff on piano. Do you do any stuff at school?
At that point, no. They just, you know, brought out the little mallet things, but no, nothing. This is like early on.
Sure.
I started playing when I was like 11 or something,
mm-hmm.
and it was just based off what my dad. I just knew you could do it on your own. That was the thing. That's what I got from my dad.
Yeah,
it's like you could. I knew you could figure it out yourself if you wanted to. So I just started playing.
Right, manhandling, hard charger. I'm into it.
Yeah.
I just asked because, you know, some schools have music programs and people got involved and like that. Can you remember the first gig you went to?
Well, my parents took me to see stuff when I was really young. I remember I saw, like, the Jackson 5.
Yeah. Gary,
back in the
right?
day, in the 70s.
I think they were Gary, Indiana, right next door. So.
Yeah, totally Gary, Indiana, yeah. And so I saw them when I was, like, 5 years old. I can't remember, but, you know, like, under my own steam, I think it was probably something like, well, I was started getting into jazz that age, but I think I went to see, like, AC/DC or something.
Yeah.
That's what I remember. I saw, like, For Those About to Rock Tour.
Oh, yeah.
With the cannons.
With the big cannon on the front. Yeah. kind of yeah, copper yeah. coat.
Yngwie Malmsteen was opening for him. That's what I remember.
Okay.
Yeah.
A lot of notes.
Oh, it was tons of notes. Maybe even a little too much. I could use a few less of those, but, yeah.
Okay, I want to play here Love in Outer Space.
Thank you. Thank you. все, що сака, знай ли да застане. Нека застане последен, има доволно, остато си на дно. Супер държава, супермаркет, супермен, колко ке коща група, спас ние сме заедно. Колекционери, разполагаме с усите средства, ни не достига само целта. Нелюбезни, нелюбезни, изморени, изморени, парната, парната, е неудобна, неудобна. Побарай ги, побарай ги, фактите, фактите, в пипълта, пипълта, в третята, третята.
זקנה שהתקרבה לבית רצתה קצת מים, אבל השומר לא ידע את זה והתכונן לראות בה, אלא שמישהו עצר אותו ברגע האחרון וצעק אליה בערבית, מה את רוצה? והיא אמרה, מים, קצת מים, והמשיכה להתקרב. אז מישהו אחר הכניס אותה פנימה והושיב אותה בצד ושאל אותה שוב, מה היא רוצה? והיא שוב אמרה, מים, קצת מים, ומלמלה משהו על זה שהחיים לא משהו. צירפנו אותה להליכה, ולאחר כמה קילומטרים שחררנו אותה ליד כפר אחר. מישהו נתן למים, ומישהו אחר כיוון אליה רובה וצעק שתסתלק. היא המשיכה ללכת אחרינו עוד שעות רבות, עד שנעלמה באחד הפיתולים.
We played Love in Outer Space, something live from the Craig Taborn Quartet. Then brand new Ales with the Ruin, European City Jungle, out of Italy, 1518. Sarlo Acrobata from Belgrade, Peccati Live thing. That's Brother Koya from the 80s. Konarashki out of next door, Bulgaria, yeah, Bell. And Fact featuring Duke B, 1060 Mix from Bernays Propaganda out of Macedonia. And then Snooze of Motion, Prekovoda out of Croatia. Farther South, The Old Woman out of Tel Aviv. And then Craig Taborn with Light Made Lighter. I love that title.
Oh, you went back? Okay.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was listening to all kinds of stuff, and I wanted to spread it out for the listeners that can check out what you're doing. In fact, they're probably wondering how it came from those about to rock to Light Made Lighter. So when is you get kind of move on from your pops and want to explore the piano more?
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe high school?
Well, yeah, well, around this time, like when I was 12, like I started piano and I just started kind of getting exposed. I just got into music, like in general. Like I just realized, like I took to the piano really quickly, just as a way to make sound, you know, like I was just like, oh, you can make songs and stuff. But I also got, my parents got me like a synthesizer, a mini Moog, when I was 12 too.
Okay, so this is like junior high.
Yeah, junior high. And I was...
And we're talking Minneapolis?
Yep, Minneapolis. Golden Valley. It's like the first suburb west of Minneapolis.
Okay. I know Montrose. Real close in. I know Montrose because my E-Nance used to be built there in the 90s.
Oh, right.
So yep. I drove out there. And I know that the school, the basketball team is called Golden Gophers.
Golden Gophers, that's right.
Kevin McHale, yeah.
Yep, that was the time I used to see it. My dad used to take me. I used to see Kevin McHale all the time.
A lot of elbow, throwing a lot of elbow.
Yeah.
But he was good. He liked to get in people's hair a little bit.
Right.
So now you got your pop's piano in the basement and you got this Moog. Wow.
Exactly.
And these were monophonic, right?
Yeah, that was the first thing. So I got, right away I got into, so I was playing piano, playing the keys and figuring out music, you know, like notes and like, you know, chords and things on the piano. But with the Moog, I just got into turning the knobs and making weird sounds. So I got right away into like sound, you know, like.
Sure.
Instead of noise, technique. Like I got into like just sound as sound without worrying about making a melody or making anything.
Sure.
And that's
sure.
A big thing. That was a big influence because I kind of always had that parallel track going where I was figuring out how to play a tune or a melody. And then I was also just making almost sculpture with sound and stuff. Like I just like making sounds, you know?
Yeah. Like using it like a hunk of clay on a wheel. You know?
Exactly.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I understand. So, do you ever, this is Man Alone stuff, right? When do you start collaborating, playing with other cats?
Well, around this time, yeah, some guys, my buddy Todd Haug, who lived, you know, like a couple blocks away, was playing guitar. So we started playing. My friend had told me, like, yeah, Todd and Leon are, you know, have a band and, you know, maybe you want to jam with them. So I started doing that. We were just playing, I mean,
yeah, well, they
serious.
Do they come into the basement? Because that's where the piano is. Or do you bring the synthesizer to where they are?
I would go over to Todd's basement. Yeah, and bring the key. By this point, I got the Moog and then I got a Rhodes electric piano, like, right after that, too. Oh. So I had those two things.
What are them heavy Fender?
Yeah, I had an 88 key.
Oh, man. Well, some of them had built-in amps even, right?
I know. I didn't have that one, thank God.
That one was a ball breaker.
Yeah, it was. Everything I had was heavy. And I had like a Vox bass cab.
Oh, wow. And people, the way Fender Rhodes work, they had these things called tines. They hit these little metal things. And you tuned them by making them shorter or longer. They were a trip. And they got their own sound. They're very interesting.
Yeah, that was it. So that's what we had. And we go over to Todd's basement. I think it was, or no, at that time it was the drummer, Davey Wheeler.
Okay.
It was his basement to start, but he didn't last long. Like, he kind of dropped out of the playing. You know, this we're like 13.
Sure.
12, 13, you know. So we're playing, like, we were playing Kiss, BTO, trying to remember.
Kind of guitar rock. What were you doing on the piano? Or
just
the Fender Rhodes?
Just riffing.
Okay. Well, you know, the Screamers, they didn't have a guitar, but they, one of the guys, Paul Rossler, he played a Fender Rhodes through a fuzz tone. And you can get that, you can get that guitar-y sound, kind of.
Well, that's what happened. A guy I took some lessons from at the time had this old blue fuzz box. Like, it was from the early 70s, like he had when he was a kid. He gave it to me. Okay. It was like kind of a... Forget the material, like a velour blue covered fuzz box from like 72.
Velour, okay.
Or something. I don't know what it was. It broke down shortly, but I used to use that. I had that fuzz thing. So yeah, I got kind of.
So this guy who gave you lessons, was he an influence? What was his name? Was he influence?
Yeah, he's a huge influence. His name was Peter Murray.
Okay, thank you.
And he's a psychiatrist now.
Actually. Okay. Got right out of this racket.
Exactly.
Okay. So did this band, this, you know, teenage band, did you guys have a name? Did you do gigs?
We barely. Okay. I don't even remember what we were called. I think we were called Sub-Zero at the start. Then we changed. It morphed. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here. I said that's a good name for Minnesota, Sub-Zero. Okay, what did morph into?
Well, we started morph just as my... Well, this we're in like northwest suburb. I like consider northwest suburb. So Golden Valley's like... So you notice the kind of like guitar rock thing. That's what was going on around there. Yeah. My friends were. That's what the scene was.
I mean, you weren't doing Elton John covers.
No. But then I was. You know, I had my influence from my dad at home.
Sure.
And then quickly, see, I went away. I went to a different junior high school than everybody else in the neighborhood. I started going to this other private school.
Okay.
And there, I met some other kids who were more from the city.
Uh huh.
And they were like into like a little more like underground stuff. So even at that age, right away I got, well, I saw you guys. I saw Minutemen in at the entry the first time. My buddy, I made a friend there who was doing a fanzine.
Yeah.
At when he was like 12.
Damn.
And I remember he was like, you like music. You know, I remember we were sitting in English class and he said, you know, you like music, right? And I was like, yeah, I play it. And he's like, well, maybe you want to come. I'm going to the show like after school. You want to come? It was like an all ages show.
Yeah, that's where the entry
was. It was you guys.
Wow.
So I kind of like.
Well, you know, early on, Minneapolis always had a good scene.
Yeah, exactly.
Hooskers. In fact, we ended up putting me and D Boom put out the first Hoosker Doo album.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, Last Speed record, which was recorded at the entry.
Mm-hmm.
1981. So it goes back. And I remember, though, the first time we played Minneapolis, it wasn't the entry. That was the second time. The first time was with Black Flag and Hoosker Doo at some place called Goofy's Upper Deck or some shit like this. It was too far away. I don't think
it was down the street. It's down on that First Avenue corridor, right?
Yeah, that's where everything happened those days. I don't know hardly anything about the suburbs. That's where we always were, was down that place.
Uh-huh. Or the Hennepin corridor. Excuse me. That was on Hennepin.
Hennepin. That was the big road, right? It goes across the river.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you start going to gigs, and then that opens up. That's not arena rock. That's a whole other world.
Exactly. So that's what happened to me. That's part of what happened to me. It's like I had jazz at home. Like my dad was, you know, he had like his record collection too, like was like real hard bop, you know, Horace Silver.
Oh yeah.
Stuff like. So I was listening to that, and then all, you know, playing these kind of rock tunes with these guys, and then I got turned on to this whole other scene. Because I just discovered, you know, I saw that, and another time I saw Big Black, another time I saw,
yeah,
like, Naked Ray Gun. It just opened up from there.
Chicago,
yeah. Saw Meat Puppets, tons of fans. I just rediscovered there was such a thing as all ages shows, you know?
Right.
And then I could go. Yeah.
Okay. So, up to high school. Still no music in school? You're taking lessons, though?
Yeah, then I finally, like a little bit later, I started taking lessons with this guy, Peter Murray.
Right.
Eventually. I took some other little lessons. Like, I took basic piano kind of classical lessons from this, first from this lady down the street and then from this other guy for about a year, you know, that got me the basics of how to, you know, read, you know, some music and play a couple of classical tunes.
Okay.
But then this guy, Peter, was teaching jazz or, you know, improvisation. So when I got with him, he started breaking down just how to start thinking about things, to approach things that way.
Yeah.
But he wasn't real dogmatic, you know. He wasn't trying to, like, make me play any certain way. It was more just tools.
Present you possibilities.
Exactly. And he was really adamant about that. He wanted, you know, he was into people just finding their own path.
Yeah, he probably wanted you to find your own voice and not just be some kind of copy. Yeah. That's righteous of him, man. Because, you know, the old cliche of the piano teacher is like hitting people over the knuckles with the rulers and, you know, crazy shit. Yeah. And I've had people on the show that ended up hating music because of their piano teachers.
Exactly. Yeah.
So,
you know, the funny thing with him was there was a time when, like, I had gotten a little facility, like, I could move, you know, my fingers pretty quickly. And, you know, and he, like, the thing was, he wouldn't teach me, like, technique. Like, he was like, he said, you know, if you want to get faster or get better, you know, you could practice that on your own, but I'm not going to teach you that because, you know, I'd rather you learn how to, like, commit to an idea, you know. He was into, like, playing what you mean and meaning what you play more. And he had a thing, like, if you get, like, too much technique before you have ideas, then it just gets it gets in the way of you ever really finding your, like, a real thing you want to say. So he was an interesting teacher that way, yeah.
Yeah, because I could see his point. Otherwise, it ends up being like sports or something.
Exactly.
Instead of like a means of expression.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, he's deep.
Yeah, he's deep.
respect for that. You end up going to college, right?
Yep. Yeah, like I went to University of Michigan, Ann Arbor.
Sure. Big Wolverine school. Once I played in that basketball arena with P-Funk.
And I kept, oh, really?
Yeah, I wouldn't shoot you, Craig. Anyway, I couldn't believe how the guy mixed. They had like 20 guys on stage. And this guy in the basketball arena, that mixer, man, an incredible technique. Also, those cats could play like motherfuckers. I mean, they're an incredible band. But, okay, you go there. I didn't know that they had a big music program. I know they had a big marching band.
Oh, yeah.
I know they had a big marching band, them in Ohio State.
Yeah, that, you know, that's kind of the money behind. The thing about University of Michigan is the money that fuels the music school is the marching band. Because all the...
Yeah, right.
All the alumni, you know, they pay money when they come back for the football game and stuff.
So it's a good subsidy. Look, we're at the end of the first hour, April 25, 2018 edition of the Lock Peter Show. Special guest Craig Tabor. Hold tight for hour two. April 25, 2018. It's the second hour of the Lock Peter Show.
Pivot leads the pack, head out strong for the attack. Skate out on the line, lead the blockers, jammers fine. Get down and set the pace, gonna dominate this place. She is a roller derby master, a good one, no one gets past her. Inspire the blockers to form a wall, and send out the jammers to take it all. Roller derby is an exciting thing, and when she sends them out on the fling, slow or fast like a jet, she is the best one, you bet. Thank you.
Walk for Pedro show. We start off the second hour with Craig Taborn Trio doing Uproot. Then Joe Brewer from not far, Madison, Wisconsin, Pivot. Ghost Car. Some Dallas Connect. Time Machines Do Fly. The Spice Pistols out of San Diego here with God Save the Queens. Kind of a cover with some funny words. And then Chess Smith. I know him, tall drummer man. Great, great cat.
Yep.
Living in New York City now. Craig Taborn and Matt Maneri doing Whackin' Open Air.
Uh-huh.
Why Whackin'?
I think he's, that's Chess's sense of humor.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Chess, I seen him with Nels Klein, and man,
right.
He can uh-huh. kick up some serious dust.
Oh, yeah.
Great
yeah,
cat, absolutely. Great cat. Okay, so, like going back to your journey here, you're going uh-huh. to school at University of Michigan, Wolverine.
Yeah.
And
yeah. Well, what I should backtrack one thing okay. that I think is important, because once I got into high school, the other thing that was available in Minneapolis was the Walker Art Center.
Okay.
And that was real important because, well, there are two things, that and the library, because then I started checking out more avant-garde jazz. I just got into that. Which is what I do. And I was going to the library just checking out records, you know.
Like Cecil?
Like
Cecil?
Like Cecil.
Yeah, right.
Like, yeah, stuff like that. Anthony Braxton.
Oh, yeah.
What have you. All that kind of stuff. And then at the Walker, they
what
started...
What about McCoy? Did you ever get into McCoy?
Heavily. You know, the last couple of years I've been touring with McCoy, like opening... Well, it's a project where you play some of his tunes with him, like with his band before he comes out plays.
Wow.
Yeah, I've been doing that the last 2 years.
I heard he had to kind of stop touring because of forgetting or... no? His health is good?
Well, that's why. That's the whole thing. Yeah, he's doing well, but they decided to... If they could kind of lessen the load on the whole night, the sure. concert night. So the idea is having people play, other pianists influenced by him, play his tunes before he comes out. So that's what I've been doing a lot. I've done that for the last couple of years.
Oh, that's bitching. You know, yeah, and so something from the bebop that the rock and rollers, I think they're starting to learn. This idea of mentor, you know, that one shift mm-hmm. hands it off to the next shift. Because I think exactly. rock and roll is so marketed towards youth, and that's ridiculous now. And mm-hmm. we're finally mm-hmm. learning from the boppers and stuff. Man, we're all links in a chain.
Absolutely, yeah.
So that's beautiful, you getting to play with him like that. Oh, mm-hmm. man. Okay, so you're going to the library, you're checking out records.
Yeah.
I got a lot of guys on the show.
I just check out everything I can find, yeah. you know.
Okay. Without having to spend the big coin because you just check them out.
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
Yep.
Right, right.
And then the Walker was bringing in a ton of music. The guy booking it back in the 80s,
uh-huh.
this guy Chuck Helm, was bringing in everything, you know, like it was like whatever was going on, you know, downtown New York,
yeah.
stuff like that. Back then, so in the early, you know, bringing John Zorn, like Bill Frisell,
yeah,
Mark
yeah.
Rebo.
Sure.
All kinds of people like that. So that was the other factor, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The Lower East Side thing.
Yeah.
Because you've done some recording. In fact, I got something we're going to play in the next hour with William Parker. I got to see him do his Testament thing.
Oh, great.
The first yeah. Shittin' Factory that was on Houston. And, mm-hmm. man, kind of improvised, yeah, totally influenced by the jazz guys. You're living in this is Minnesota, then you move to Ann Arbor, spend time
right.
at the school, then what? You end up in New York City?
Well, yeah, there was a big. I was in Ann Arbor and then Detroit for about 7 years. Because what happened is, you know, Minneapolis, there wasn't a big jazz scene, you know,
yeah.
like.
Sure.
Like of old cat, you know, old guy, like you were just talking about that tradition
yeah.
with older guys to apprentice with. So I kind of was putting stuff together on my own or with my buddies, you know, in bands.
Uh-huh.
But when I got to Michigan, I met my friend who's on a lot of records, Gerald Cleaver, who's a drummer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I saw
it. And we met right away, and he's from Detroit, so he started hooking me up playing with guys in Detroit. And that was the real, and that's the first time I played with, like, you know, because Detroit's heavy.
Yeah, Elvin and his brother Thad and Hank.
Exactly, that whole scene, you know, Paul Chamber, like, Ron Carter, Betty Carter, you know, it's just endless with Detroit.
Right, right.
And there's as many guys as you know, like Elvin, who left and went to New York. There's a bunch of guys who didn't leave who are still
right.
there.
That's right. That's right.
And so I started playing with them, you know.
Oh, and that's like going to the well. I mean, that's not second,
that's
third, fourth hand. That's going to the well. That's like me getting to play with Stooges. Look, I want to play Hot Blood here.
À la vol, pirouette, flop, pépère, grimpe, l'amas de mon gros de langogne. à la ville, tourbille, ténèbres, yéman mort, passe, épère et saute le val de Bonneuil en Valois. Qui joue à l'amour, croque madame, puis caché bourré, plein d'épère et forme le tas courant de la voûte. Poirier, pique, pince, mori, roi, nérénette, fleuve, pépère, épice, panne de vin de Bretagne. Qui joue à la grue, à la truie, au crapaud, couille de bélier, qui, pépère, et monte le col des Coirons. Qui joue au mouchard, séquence à 3D, fait sa réfouquée, scat, pépère, et sèche le garde de bruit de Thésée. Malheureusement content, sans que plus béliné, cave et père et voix, la mare de mort et de ulcère. Qui joue à la choule au piquet, qui nasa des villes poker, chez père élève la roche devant de Vanos. Joc pour l'opinion pétarade, tout pépère et forge la pierre de cour de Breteuil. Qui joue au piston, passe avant qu'aucun verre à cinq coups, mise et père et crève le bois de Martel. Je te viens adorer picoter une pignon pétanque, stand des pères et lampe la foune d'abat de Gramont. Qui joue à blanc à la neuf, mi-main pour lundi, voici un camp, mais que les pères et gorges la d'Esparon. Sans rire, coupant, sans verre, split et père, et preuve, la rate de fin meuf.
Thank you.
Bought for Pedro show. That was Hot Blood, Craig Tabor Trio. Then Casino Rabalesian by Ann James Chatton and Andy Moore. And then Craig Tabor Trio again in Chant. And they're both from this album called Chants. I'm learning about off air people. You didn't get to get enlightened like I did. But okay, so you spend some time in Detroit playing with some cats from the day.
Yeah, yeah. We, that was the, you were saying, because I didn't do music when I was at University of Michigan, you know. I thought I would, but then I started just doing, like, other stuff, anthropology.
Yeah.
You know, I was just liberal arts vibe. I wanted to learn other stuff. And sure. I started playing in Detroit, and there was sort of no, like, me, I don't know. The music school thing wasn't, especially for jazz, was a little, wasn't really happening there, and it was a little stiff. But when you could go and, like, play with Marcus Belgrave and, like, these older cats who were the real thing, it kind of, you didn't really need to do the class.
No, that's
thing.
Its own kind of school.
Absolutely. You know, and, like, the real thing, you know.
Craig,
like,
I got to tell you about this joke that I heard once. Thelonious Monk would have never won the Thelonious Monk contest.
That's
the way humans are. Humans want to, like, freeze things and make it, you know, inside a glass box. Or, you know, you can't break out. They go and they make a form out of something that was supposed to be, mm-hmm. like, kind of open and go for it in the first place.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. So I don't blame you. But you eventually leave Detroit. You go further east to New York.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, I started playing with this guy, among the other people, I started playing with this guy, James Carter, who's a saxophonist from Detroit. And he, you know, his thing got started taking off in the 90s. Like, he started touring a lot. So, uh-huh. And I was playing in his band. And from that, like, on the strength of that, you know, and finishing up with the school thing and everything, I just decided, oh, I can move to New York. But I moved to New York with a strong, you know, we were on the road a lot. So I didn't move in, like, hungry or needing to hustle too much in New York.
Desperate.
I moved to New York. Yeah, I wasn't desperate.
Like I heard the way it goes is desperate times call for desperate men.
Right.
But you had a thing going, so you were fortified. Yeah, great.
Exactly, yeah.
I think that means a lot because you end up in terrible situations when you're desperate sometimes. And especially a big, mean town like that. But at the same time, there's a lot of opportunity.
Yeah, it was a, you know, there's so much, there's, still is, but there's always so much happening in New York.
That's
but it
right.
was an easy way to enter because I was sort of like going out playing.
Sure.
And then when I came back, you know, I had some bread in my pocket and I could kind of really check out what was going on from the perspective of, you know, trying to figure out what I wanted to do, like the kind of cats I wanted to play with. I wasn't, you know, trying to hustle gigs or anything.
No, but you're kind of sideman mode, but you're thinking about making your own band?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And when does that happen?
Well, it had happened. It started happening just with some friends, like my buddy Gerald, who's like a couple of these, actually all these trio things that you're playing have Gerald on them on drums.
Yep, yeah,
but,
that was neat.
We started a band, back in Ann Arbor that was called Tracy Science that was like a weird electric kind of avant-funk electric band. And that got kind of big in the area back then in like the early 90s. We started playing, so we were opening for like HR and other people, you know, they used to come through, but it was a weird, we were kind of influenced by like Electric Miles, like early 70s
sure.
Electric Miles.
On the corner.
Like exactly.
Smiles, yeah. Okay.
Well, actually that band, it's a funny story because there was a confusion. The band was actually based on a misunderstanding because the bassist in the band, this guy Trent, who's a great bass player, like a funk guy, he talked about it saying, I want to do an Electric Miles kind of thing. And I was thinking, yeah, Bitches Brew on the Corner, Live Evil. And I think he was thinking like Tutu and Amandla.
Yeah, because, you know, that,
right?
Well, you know, because that era he was talking about, it's either, you know, on the stand up, Dave Holland, but the bass man was the guy that Miles got at the Apollo of, Michael Henderson.
Henderson.
Who is, exactly. I dug, but, you know, he was not a fusion dude.
Exactly.
I actually really dug his line, you know, little bubble, bubble. I think, he's Stevie, I think he was Stevie Wonder. I think in the Miles
book.
Yeah,
that's Detroit.
Yeah, I think he
all a lot of that Motown stuff was Michael Henderson.
Okay, and he ends up like a disco singer later in Europe in the 70s.
Yep.
But, man, I really like that. So that's trippy that that bass man, he's probably Slapper, right? Funk.
Well, that's what happened. So it was the band, when we got together for the first rehearsal,
yeah,
it was clear. I was like, oh. And Gerald, you know, I talked to my friend Gerald, and we were like, he was going at it like, you know, like Dejanette.
Okay.
And yeah. I was doing this weird stuff, and then Trent started slapping, and we just, but nobody really, it was just like, oh, okay, I guess this is what this is. So it was kind of like a weird, weird
thing. What you were into, like, do a Joe Zawinul now?
Well, I was even weird, because my thing was...
Right? Kind of like was it the Weather Report guy with Miles at that time?
Yeah, it was Zawinul vibe. Yeah. But I wasn't doing Zawinul. I was kind of more Sun Ra vibe. I was coming from that.
Yeah, yeah. Sonny Blanc. He's great. Yeah,
so it was a weird band.
Okay. We're at the end of the second hour. Weird is okay sometimes. 25 April 2018. Special guest Craig Taborn. Hold tight for hour three. April 25, 2018. It's the third hour of the Watt for Pedro show. Thank you. For Pedro Show, we start off the third hour with Junk Magic from Craig Tabor, one of his first recordings like 15 years ago. Mold Omen out of Baltimore with Four Limbed Hero. The Schizophonics out of San Diego, we had them on the show last month, Make It Last. And finally, Craig Tabor with Untitled 2 American Landscape. This is something live that you've
been in
Europe touring around, right? Yeah.
Right, that was Amsterdam, maybe.
Okay, so. Yeah, right. And, the incredible difficulties of filling out the public performance rights forms when the gig's over.
Exactly.
Okay, so this drummer, man, yeah, all the way from Ann Arbor, huh? Jesus. And Detroit, and New York.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And he's still playing with you now.
Yeah, well, there's a bunch of drummers, but Gerald's the main guy in the trio,
mm-hmm.
and that stuff. The guy in my quartet that was on like that first thing is Dave King, who's one of the guys I grew up with in Golden Valley.
Okay, Golden Valley.
And he plays with this band, The Bad Plus.
Oh, yeah. Okay, there's a trio with piano, mm-hmm. bass, and drum. Yeah, for a little bit, Greg Norton, one of the Husker Du guys, he was telling me about those guys. I think they just got a new member.
Yeah, they switched out the pianist and got Oren. But the other two guys, Dave and the bassist Reed, are guys I grew up with.
Okay,
in
wow.
Grand Valley. We played together. So Dave was around in that early. He almost was the drummer in that Sub-Zero band that I talked about.
Okay.
But we went a different direction, back, but that's when we were 12.
Greg, you remember this guy? It was an early band in a Minneapolis scene called Suburbs. And
Chan, of course.
He played piano. His name was Chan. He did organ and stuff, but he ended up
kind
of playing jazz piano in a trio.
Mm-hmm.
Chan Pauling or something. Chan. I can't remember.
I can't remember, but I know exactly who you mean.
Yeah, I remember they played the second mask up in Hollywood the first time they came. In fact, they came in a VW bus. These guys toured in a bus. Someone stole all their shit. He had a yellow rain jacket on, and on the back with a black electrical tape, he had a big cock, and it said hard. And his pants, you know, when you go to the cleaners. And they give you your jacket in a really thin plastic sack. That was his pants, all like duct tape, so his balls are all hanging out and shit. Yeah, they were a trip. Anyway, get back to your story. So your trio, your quartet, and you start playing around the scene. But you also start touring, right?
Yeah, we were touring. I mean, the touring was happening as a sideman, but then my own thing started touring more, like after I got to New York, you know.
Tell me about this Farmers by Nature. This is the thing with William Parker.
Yeah, so that was just Gerald, again, the same drummer.
Sure.
We just had this idea to play with William, you know.
But what Farmers
that's
by
Nature... That's like a mass...
But Farmers by Nature, what does that mean?
That's a good question. Actually, that's Gerald came up with that name, so
okay.
You know.
Okay. Let's listen to Cutton's Gate.
Thank you.
Lot for Pedro. So the last music for this edition, Cut and Gate, Farmers by Nature. That's Craig Tabor and the great William Parker, who's an incredible bass man. The Blanks after that was Sissy Glue out of Arizona, Evil Hearted You out of here, East L.A., The Wicked Place. And finally, Craig Tabor and Trio with Something Live out of Europe, All True Night / Future Perfect. So what's your plans? What's it look like now, right now?
Well, I'm getting ready to, we hit the road next week with the four-piece group from that Daylight Ghost album. So
right.
We're doing Europe about two and a half weeks.
Craig Tabor Quartet, right?
Yeah, I don't really, I actually call that group Heroics, but
okay.
It got into a thing, so I don't really like calling things quartet, but anyway, by the time the press, like the publicist got rolling, it wasn't clear what the name was, so.
I actually
call that group Heroics.
You know, Nels has a new album, and it's a quartet, and he calls it the Nels Klein Four.
Uh-huh.
So, okay. That's okay. So, how do you approach a quartet versus a trio? You know, I'm thinking of Miles Davis in the Quincy Troupe book, and he said he hated playing with Red Garland, even though he did for years.
I can see Red Garland had that block chord thing that was sort of the given, like that's how he was going to approach accompanying cats, and that I can see for Miles and what he was going for, which he wanted more space.
Yeah.
It was a more modern sound, like more space and angles and things going on in it. And Red Garland was more straight up and down.
Right, like pad.
Exactly.
So I'm thinking when you think of trio versus. Do you kind of get in a pad mode with the quartet versus a trio?
Actually, I do the opposite.
Okay.
In theory, it can happen, but it's more like the possibility for it to sound bigger than a quartet even, you know. So one thing is I'm not so, like with the quartets and the things, I'm not so into soloing. Like I like group improvisation. I like to see what we can build together rather than, you know, everybody clear the space for one person to like blow. I'm not so into that. I'm not really interested in that as much as
ensemble.
Let's charge forward together and see what we can make, you know.
And maybe in the trio set you feel more, you have to do that more, a little more.
I try to make it more so co-equal, you know. I'm really into like the co-equal thing.
Okay, let's get into that. Some ideas about improvisation, like Nels Klein has discussed with me. Maybe some of it's about listening.
Yeah, a lot of it. It's kind of all about listening at some level. Yeah.
Kind of a joke. No, because some people think improv is like, you know, you're going to have to wrestle it out of my hand, right? I got the ball.
Right, right.
But especially what you're talking about, some kind of ensemble kind of improv, there's got to be listening because people are keying on each other, right?
Totally. I mean, one thing I say, like, for me, it's like, it's all about listening, but it's not always about showing that you're listening. You know what I mean? Because there can get to be too much of a back and forth, and then you lose all the pressure. You know, I play with Roscoe Mitchell, the guy, our ensemble of Chicago and
sure,
other things. And
sure.
One of his things is he wants you to, like, he doesn't like you to accompany him, to shadow him.
Right.
Like, follow him around. That freaks him out. You know, he always says, don't follow me, because that's like you're behind me. And then I have to pull you around. Just jump in there.
Reminds me of Scotty. You know, he the Stooges drummer. When he was hunting, he had a cabin up in Upper Peninsula, I think they call it. And he says he could see the bears. They'd be following him from tree to tree in the corner of his eye. Yeah. So maybe that's the feeling he was getting. But here's the kind of aphorism or the image that I get. You got two guys on a bicycle, and they're both on the same pedal. yum.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Now, sometimes too much counterpoint, because sometimes it's good to have a statement, right?
Right. Absolutely.
That big thing in the Beethoven's Fifth, you know, if you counterpointed that too much, maybe you'd lose a little of the drama. I mean, it is about making something that's living and breathing. Laughing and crying, though, right?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, which you're bringing the gig goer, the listener. I just, you know, I've done a lot of albums with Nels where, you know, you want that first take, you just don't show him the song. You bring the guy in and he can do that. A lot of cats.
Right.
It's scary time. So I have so much respect for people who can really make that happen.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, Nels is fantastic.
When Stevie Bono clued me in on this and I got on the YouTube.com and started watching even your solo improv, man, it just drew me in. Because I'm like, what's coming next? What's up next? I mean, you just, much respect, Greg.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah, truly. And if people, now, you don't like to have a web presence, right?
Yeah, I just, yeah.
That's okay.
I don't really
but
care.
You, people, you can find them on the YouTube.com, because that's where I got all kinds of stuff, and a lot of it's you playing live, and it's great. So just go there if you want to check it out. It's TABORN, Craig Tabor. Go up there and watch this man play, make music come alive. It is beautiful. It is such an honor to have you aboard the show here. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, can I ask you, if some younger person, or maybe even a cat my age, asked you for advice about this music record, what would you tell?
I don't. My thing is really identify what you want to do and just do that, which sounds obvious, but, like, don't think about anything else. I mean, don't think about anything else.
That's good.
Just start doing the thing you want to do, because that's what you're going to end up doing at the end of the day. So if you find yourself doing something that you, and you're like, why am I here? I'm not really into this. It probably started because you opened the door to that. So just don't even, I mean, outside of eating, you know, you gotta do stuff to, you gotta make some money to eat, but.
But also the consequence of, I've eaten, Craig. You gotta take a dump. Okay, man. Thanks again, and keep on keeping on, please. And next time you get a recording too, because you must have plans for a studio record down the road.
Yeah, I do.
When you do it, can we come on the show and talk about it?
Absolutely, man.
Okay, man. People, it's been April 25, 2018 edition of Walk Pedro Show. Special guest Craig Tabor. Keep your powder dry.